here. I'm wrapping up the spiritual disciplines, which I've been doing for 3 months. And I want to, I don't want to apologize, but I do. But I'm going to be talking this morning about what's called a rule of life. I'll explain it here in a minute. But it's a way to order and structure your life around Jesus. And so what I'm going to be doing, and I started this week, and I was overly ambitious. I need a couple more hours to make it right. But I'm going to put this, and I'll go through this here in a minute, but it's something to help us with what I call a rule of life, structuring our life around Jesus. My intention was to pass it out, but what I'm going to do instead is email it out and put some here, and this will make more sense to you in a minute. But I do want to share that. We've spoken on spiritual disciplines, which are things found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers of the gospel. These are what we've talked about so far is prayer, fasting, giving, Bible reading, meditation, memorization, community. We took a couple weeks on community. Silence, solitude, Sabbath, then worship, celebration, laments, service. We did service last week. I could have added confession. I almost did confession this week. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So we don't go to someone else to have them pardoned. We go to God for if we've committed sin. But there's something therapeutic in confessing to other believers as well to show vulnerability to pray, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Can you pray for me? That's one I didn't get into. Simplicity is one my wife kept telling me to do, but it's hard for me to do because it's, that's how God made me, so I don't see a need for it. But that's the one you can do. I've been described as simple, and that's just, I think that's a, maybe that's good today. And there's also, when I didn't do evangelism, is also a spiritual discipline I didn't really get into. And I'll say supernatural ministry, really, and I've spoken on that before. You call it power evangelism, where you move in the gifts of the Spirit. All those things can be added because basically we're seeing how Jesus lived, looking at him. We see his teachings, his doctrine, we see his ethics, his morals, but so often we don't look and order our life around the way he lived. And so Jesus prayed, he fasted, he gave his life, he knew the scriptures, he was part of community. He oscillated between evangelism and solitude and silence often. He was the greatest servant of all. He lamented. Jesus wept. No one asked me the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He lamented. He celebrated. First miracles at Cana of Galilee. He was a full person, spirit, soul, and body. And so love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, and mind. It encompasses everything. And sometimes I think it's just, I have to pray enough. I have to pray enough. Or I have to do this or read my Bible enough. I can memorize my Bible and still be a mess. Because I've left out other things in my life. God wants me to be a whole person. And I've learned that so much, even in my own life, which I'll get to here in a little bit. But one scripture I do want to turn to this morning is this. It's John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. And every spiritual discipline, just as a healthy reminder, I've said so many things on spiritual disciplines, so I am going to probably add some other stuff to you to send out as well. But the whole point is a means to an end. And I could fast till I'm blue in the face, but if I don't find Jesus in that, I've just gone on a hunger strike. So at the end of the day, it's all about ordering my life and drawing closer to him. Because if I'm not finding Jesus, then what's the point? I'm no different from anyone else. So this is a lovely passage. It says, I am the true vine. This is verse 1. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. I could just stop right there and preach that because it's so true. If you feel the Lord pruning you or doing some of the consuming fire in you, it means you're bearing fruit and the Lord wants you to bear more fruit. That's healthy. Sometimes these things aren't the devil attacking us. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes when I was younger, let me just pause. I remember going to my pastor because God was dealing with me on something. And I said, I think the devil's attacking me. He said, no, this is just the process of sanctification, which is just a fancy word for saying God's work in your heart, and changing you and molding you and shaping you into him. And that happens. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I'm actually just going to stop right there at verse 5. But remain, abide, that word means union with in the original. That's how we can do it. And I'm the type of guy, when I see that, remain in me, well, how do we do that? How do I remain in Jesus? How do I remain in him? And so one problem that's plagued us for not just today, and we have a lot of distractions today. I've said this before, we're distracting ourselves into oblivion. I think it's a tool that the enemy uses to just keep us from what's important in life and keep us from Jesus. But it's been a problem for a long time. There was one of the early church fathers, Benedict, in 527, he started what's called a rule of life. He was in a monastery. And so you can imagine, even there, and I've seen the table of contents of his rule of life, and some of those are you can chuckle at. Ours would be different. He's not going to have stuff about your cell phone, for example. Just very different rule of life. But it was a way to structure your life around Jesus. Augustine says it's a well-ordered love or well-ordered heart. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So how do I center my life around him? How do I order my life in such a way that we love Christ above everything else? Because I've said that before. Lord, I love you above all. And the Lord says, do you really? I'm like, oh, Lord, do I really? How do I structure my life in a way where I love him above everything else? How do we do this? And the word rule, let me say this. It means this. It comes from the word trellis. And I wish I had a picture I could show you, but a trellis, I actually looked up on the computer last night. If you go to our home, we have this, I don't think this is a trellis, but we have this little fence. It is. It's a fenced-in thing when you walk through our walkway. You've been to our home, which many of you have, and there's, thanks to our last people who live there, there's roses blooming right now, pink, beautiful roses. But a trellis is like almost a fence, and it's there to promote health for the plant. If you're like a gardener, I'm probably butchering it, but that's the general gist of it. And so instead of the plant just growing everywhere, it helps it grow up so you can bloom and prosper better. Okay? And so a trellis is like a rule, so it's a way that structure that basically enables and helps us have growth. There's an old business adage that said the system you use is perfectly designed to get the results you're getting. So pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to your life. If I find myself constantly racked by anxiety or stresses or things, maybe that's a way the Lord's getting my attention to reorder my life in a way that aligns to him. Okay, it's like a trellis or whatever. It promotes growth. So rule of life is a schedule, and it's a set of practices, and it's a relational rhythms that basically create space for us to be with Jesus. Margaret Gunther said this. She said, it's a working document, and this is important too. I'm going to get into this more. I'm going to email this out. Let me just read her quote first. She said, it's a working document, a kind of spiritual budget, not carved in stone, but subject to regular review and revision. It should support us, but never restrict us. So when I go through in a minute, example how to do this, I'll elaborate more in a minute, but this isn't like I'm binding my life to it. It's basically just a healthy structure to model myself off of. And in case that kind of freaks you out, I want to say this. Everyone has a rule of life already. May not know it, but you do. You get up in the morning, you do whatever you do. If you turn your phone on right away, that's something I want to work on and really try to give to us. Don't turn your phone on right when you get up in the morning and check your emails. Make space for God first. I have a rule of life. I get up, I do this, I do this, I do this. On this day, I do this, I do this, and I do this. Say, Lord, my life is full, but we already have it structured in such a way. So the intent of a rule of life is not to add more to our already busy lives. It's to amend it, to perhaps subtract a few things. You can take your temperature if you're on, like you said, average American or something, 2 hours of Instagram a day or whatever. So if you take 2 hours on Instagram a day, maybe take it from 2 to 1 and take the 1. So it's not like I'm adding more stuff. We all have 24 hours, but it's ordering my life in such a way that amends it so I'm around Jesus more. If you look at Daniel, I love the book of Daniel. Daniel had a rule of life. Daniel was transported to Babylon, and that he ministered in a time of captivity. So Daniel was a good Jewish boy, and he was taken in. It would be the equivalent of taking Owen and saying, Owen, you're one of the best. We're going to send you to Hollywood and let you train for 3 years how to be a Hollywood star. And he would come back a mess, more than likely. And so Babylon, they're going to take these guys, and they're going to, the best and the brightest from Israel, and mold them and shape them into the Babylonian culture. If you look subconsciously, we live in a world that seeks to do that all the time. Through our ads, through marketing, through phones, through teachings in schools, every single thing we do seeks to shape us and mold us in a way that's contrary to the values of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we're not aware of that, but that's what happens. And so it's very important that we set our life structures up in a way that says, I'm going to revolt against what the world tells me is normal when it's contrary to the kingdom of God. Yes. And we have to be intentional about that. I have to be intentional about that, because if I'm not careful, I'm going to sound, act, and walk just like Joe Blow down the road who's never met Jesus before. Because the values of Babylon, so to speak, are infringing upon the values I should be getting from the kingdom of God. So in Daniel chapter 1:8, don't turn there, just listen. I love this. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. So he wasn't going to take what the king of Babylon gave them. And he says this, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel asked for a different diet. An extreme example, when I was in Bible school, there's a Nigerian brother, Benson, and he's a pastor in Nigeria today, and he came in, and we thought it was kind of strange, but I admire what he did. He said, I'm not going to drink blue drinks. He says, because blue drinks aren't in the Bible. But his heart in saying that, he says he didn't want to, forgive me, this offends us, offends me, but he didn't want to be defiled by American culture, is what his heart was. So he had a set of things where I don't want to come in and be taken in with American way of doing things. So it was a small little example I'm giving you, but he said, I'm not going to defile myself with the blue drink, as silly as that was. But he lived and he modeled himself differently. Daniel also did this in Daniel 6, chapter 6, verse 10. And this was when, you know, King Darius signed the decree that anyone who worships anyone other than himself or bows down to any other god would be killed or thrown into the den. It says this, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. I love this verse. And in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom in his early days. It means Daniel already had a custom of getting alone with God 3 times a day, and nothing that Babylon or Persian, whoever was the king then, could do would change his rule of life that he had. If that makes sense. So he says, Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was radically different from the world around him because he purposely set himself in accord to model his life around Jesus. And we can do that as well. And oftentimes we leave, I'm guilty of this, we all are. Sometimes we can leave our spiritual lives just a chance and put on autopilot and let everyone around us dictate how we live and what we do. I've been there myself. But I think there's a better way. Yes. I think there's a better way. And a rule of life is something I'm doing. I already have it in my life. I'm going to do it some more. I would say this. John Ortberg calls it a disordered heart. Mm-hmm. And so an example he gives is TV. I can watch TV. It's not an issue of whether I watch TV. It's how much TV I watch before I have a disordered heart. Mm-hmm. For me, it's screen time. I can have screen time is fine, but if I hit a certain point, automatically I can just feel this anxiety bubbling up in me because it's designed to do that. And I have to say, okay, this is Holy Spirit's getting my attention here. And I need to reorder my life and mold it and shape it in a different way where Jesus Christ is central. Okay, so that's kind of what this is, a rule of life. So how do we craft it? Some of Benedict's rules of life just is kind of funny. How many psalms are to be sung at the night? Psalms like the psalms in the Bible. In what order are the psalms to be said? And this one's funny. How night praise is accomplished in the summer. And just, it's to me, it's kind of funny to see what the monks were doing in the monastery in the 500s. It is so different from us. But it's an order of life nonetheless. And so these things depend on our season of life. So kind of what my heart is take all the spiritual disciplines, even some that I left out, and I crafted this, some off what other people have had, but I also kind of made it my own. But I have the passage. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And so this is something where I have ways we love God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves, which is something I know I've been guilty of not doing, which I'll share more in a minute. And I have the goal daily, weekly, yeah, monthly, quarterly, or annually. And so it's a way to order your life. And I want to say this too, again, we already have a rule of life. This type of thing, if you choose to do it, I encourage you to. If you don't, that's your choice. It's not like it's signed in stone. For example, if I have, I was amazed, there was a man of God in the, near where I grew up and wrote several books, traveled internationally. He was a Bible whiz. He was actually like a genius. And he said, I shock people and I tell them, I don't read my Bible every day. He says, there's some days that's all I do and some days I don't. And the heart of me saying that is there's liberty. So if I am, oh, I didn't read my two chapters for my yearly reading today, and I say, well, Anna, I can't go with you to watch your dance recital after reading my two chapters. That'd be the most unspiritual thing I could do. My daughter needs to know I love and care for her, and I'm with her in that season. There's a is this making sense? It's flexible documents, or to assist us to order our life around Jesus. And it's between you and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to do this. And I'm going to give you some tips in a minute. And let me say this too. Anytime you do anything like this, don't start off where you would like to be. Start off where you are. So spiritual discipline is prayer. Not if you pray, but when you pray. If I never talk to my wife, we're not going to have a great relationship. If I never make time for Jesus to talk to him, our relationship's going to suffer. So don't, if you're in the habit of saying, I pray once a week, and I want it to be on here daily or regularly, you know, don't start off saying, I'm going to pray for 2 hours every morning. You're going to quit the first week. But say, you know what, I'm going to start off each morning and just say the Lord's Prayer for 1 minute. And you start where you are, and you take steps to where you're going to be, okay? Same could be for any with your Bible reading, community. So just to go through a few of these real quick with you, and as a healthy review of the spiritual disciplines, the first one I have under loving God would be prayer. Okay? Conscious personal communication with God. It's hearing His voice, responding to Him. Jesus says, when you pray. I would personally recommend that. That would be daily or regularly. Again, if that's nothing you're not in the habit of doing, don't look at Wilbur. Say, I'm going to pray as much as Wilbur this week, and I've never prayed before. Because you've never, and there's a certain grace and there's an intercessor that you may carry, okay? So start where you are. Also, consider the season of life you're in. So I wouldn't go to a new mom or a mom with kids in the home. Or Andrea a couple years ago. I said, Andrea, you need to get up 2 hours before your kids every morning on your knees praying. Fast 3 times a week. What am I doing? You're not considering the season that they're in, the rhythms. We have different seasons and different flows in life. I'm in one right now that's very different than what I've had. And so God can meet us in the season that we're in. So respect each other's place that we're in our walk with God. And don't project on someone else. Amen? And just have grace on yourself. I want to say that because sometimes we hear these things and well, 1 minute a day, that's not much. Have grace with where you're at. You're taking a step. That's amazing to do that. It's a prayer. I have on worship in here. I'm going to put baseline practices. So one thing with worship, we talked some with celebration and laments. I've preached on worship before. Jesus worship, saying hymns at the Last Supper. Hey, how am I going to worship and commit, give myself to God? Okay, I would do worship annually. You can do worship daily, regularly, weekly. We could have a rule of life as a church. We have a one night of worship night. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So it's patterning your life around that. Fasting, we have that on there as well. You know, that's something where you're not going to be fasting. 99% of the people in the world aren't going to be fasting daily. So you'll figure weekly, monthly, quarterly, however you and the Holy Spirit do that. Start small. Okay? Scripture, memorization, meditation. Remember we talked about Bible reading. So we're not going to start off memorizing. I'm going to memorize 5 scriptures this week. We're going to start off small. If you're not in the habit of doing, say I'm going to memorize 1 verse a month. That's good. And that's 12 verses at the end of the year you will memorize that you wouldn't have memorized otherwise. So take 10 minutes away from Instagram and practice the scripture. This is intensely practical. This is where we live. This is important, okay? And I think this is very helpful. Silence and solitude. I talked about that as well. I would honestly recommend that would be a daily thing. Jesus, it says, after he ministered, he'd go off into a quiet place and pray in solitude. Start off your days, even if it's for 1 minute, with silence and solitude to hear the voice of God, rather than bombarding with everyone else's thoughts, a constant news cycle that comes at us. I read a secular article one time from a military person, and the article was Silence and Leadership, or Solitude and Leadership, it's one of the two. And he was talking to, I think, graduates at West Point, and basically expressing the same biblical principle. We don't want you to go out and just have everyone else's opinions, and you're just copying. I was talking some about you with that this morning. Like everyone else's opinion becomes mine. I need to practice regular solitude to be quiet, hear from God, open up the scriptures, let the word of God speak to me. And that happens best in a moment where I can just get away. That's a healthy thing. I can't go back and preach all of these as much as I want to, but these are spiritual disciplines. Loving our neighbor. I have evangelism in there, which I didn't do. Share the gospel. Put that in there somewhere. Share the gospel with someone. Supernatural ministry. We have that as a rule of life here in the church. Weekly in the healing room. It should be regular practice of the church. It should be regular practice in our life. How can I pray for you? Even if it's someone from a distance and you're not comfortable with that. That's important. Evangelize. The lady we talked about at Wilcox Park. Share your faith with somebody. Make it a goal and a habit, because honestly, even for me, if I wouldn't write this down, I probably would just leave it to chance. It's a way to be intentional about it. Community. I have community on here. It's regular engaging. Your community is, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're not a part of my community because they don't live in the same area. That makes sense. So the community is the people that share a common goal in the same area as each other. You're our brothers and sisters in Christ, though. If that makes sense, we've talked some about that. That could be anything from a bowling club to the church. And so community should be a part of your life. I was talking to someone about that this week. Formation happens in community. Iron sharpens iron in community. I'm built up and strengthened in community. And if I don't have community and I go by myself all the time, that's not how God's designed it. You figure out how community works within your heart. Your family is a very spiritual thing. There's a lot in scripture about family. Jesus, we talked about that on Mother's Day. He honored Mary. There's plenty in scripture about that. I had a moment last night, and I was outside in our yard praying, and I had to help Owen with something. And I'm just giving you my thought process and being vulnerable. And I got finished helping Owen, and I went back to prayer. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I interrupted that. And immediately, boom, what you were doing wasn't spiritual. And I was like, oh, wow. Can you make sure I'm on? Because someone just texted me. I need to make sure I didn't get that. Your family is very, very important.
the body of Christ is described as a family.
You know what? I can have a monthly date night with my wife, which I need. That's something we should cherish and have, okay, with your spouse. Take care of your spouse. Love your spouse. Love your kids. That should be part of this as well. Giving. We spoke about giving. There's baseline practices for that. One of the things that blesses my heart is to see us as a church family give and see what produces in Nigeria about it. When do I give? Do I get paid monthly? Give monthly. Do these things. Amen? All right. And then I have loving ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I have confession on there. And I didn't do that as a discipline. I really maybe could have. Confession is very healthy to recognize our vulnerabilities and our struggles with other people. I did that with Wilbur this week. Something racking my heart that wasn't healthy. And it's therapeutic to, brother, can you pray for me because this is going on and this isn't right. It doesn't mean Wilbur forgives my sins. It just means he's my brother. Confess your trespasses to one another. I need you to, in Galatians 6, I'm bearing with one another's burdens. That's a very healthy thing, that we don't carry life alone. It means we listen to what's going on. I'm not governed by my feelings. I'm governed by the Spirit of God, but I do pay attention to feelings. I told Andrew one time, I said, when this happens, I feel this way. Maybe Holy Spirit's trying to get my attention about something. And He is, because it's an underlying issue in my life that's causing these things. So pay attention to that. Pay attention to your thoughts, renewing your mind. Any questions about that? Ask Aaron about that. Pay attention to our thoughts and what we're thinking of. I talked about Sabbath. Taking care of your bodies and your minds. I've talked about how Jesus processed grief with laments and celebration. I had someone ask me, I've had two people ask me, ministers, and they say, what do you do for fun? I said, well, the last few years, I don't know. That's a problem. That's not good. Because it means I'm not a whole person. And again, go back to Jesus, His first miracle, we've got a celebration. I think Jesus was the type of guy, like I said, they could invite him to a party and he's not going to. A lot of Christians are happy deficient. If it's happy, then it must not be God. Jesus was the type of guy, you invite him to a party and he didn't ruin the party. I want Jesus to come to this wedding. As I said before, a wedding was the big deal in that culture. Big party, like the Chosen does a very great job with it. So pay attention to screen time, I said, with your anxiety, take walks, exercise, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes. So for me, honestly, I don't care what you think of me, annually, talking to Marty, I'm going to watch Carolina play with my leading son, Tennessee's in the tournament too, in November, because annually for me, that's fun. I get rejuvenated and filled up that way. It's a basketball tournament. It's something good God's given us. Fill myself up. You know what I find when I went to a game with Owen? I found when I did that, there's a pastor, I'll say this. He said, these pastors in Syracuse, he said, I used to always, Saturday night, I would pray. He said, I started going to the symphony on Saturday night because he's a music lover. He said, I found out my sermons got so much better. They went easy. He didn't do something he enjoyed before. If it makes sense to you, oftentimes I can be so spiritual that I forget the fact that I'm also a person. I have a mind, I have to work with my mind, and my body is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm meant to be a whole person, not just a guy. One more thing. Do you realize this? I talked about Benedict in the monastery. If you study these guys, all the desert fathers, some of them were great, but a lot of them went crazy. Because I don't think that's God's intention for all of them. They went and isolated themselves and pray all the time. A lot of them went crazy. Some of them really made it through. I think maybe God called them to that. So we're meant to be whole beings. Yes. So I have all of these things on here, which I'm going to send to all of us. Consider your season of life. Consider your personality. Start small. and keep a healthy balance of structure and spontaneity. It's a working document. And there's one more thing. Sometimes we have what's called upstream and downstream practices, so some things are easier for other people. So for me, it'd probably actually be easier for me to be in a monastery. Like, I would probably do really well there. I would love that. It would be heaven to me. So we do those, but also, so I'm going to keep that up, but there's downstream practices. There's certain things on here that may be really hard for you. And so it's very important that the things, so maybe for you, prayer is really, really hard for you. And prayer, really easy for Wilbur, it's really hard for me. It's very important to say, okay, I can't pray for 18 hours a day, but what I can do is make a conscious effort, because if I don't write it down to pray whatever it is, I'll probably never do it. So be very aware of your downstreams, which means things that are harder for you. Fill yourself up with the upstreams. That may be something God's called you to. Maybe you're called to intercession. I need to really give myself to this. But if evangelism's not it, but if I do that, I'll never evangelize. So I need to say, hey, you know what? Every quarter, once every 3 months, I'm going to go up to the park and tell somebody about Jesus. Because if I don't make it part of my rule of life, I'll never do it, because it doesn't come natural. Does that make sense as well? So I'm going to, this was a little different this morning, and I really wish I'd had this for you, but I want to do it the right way, not just give you junk. And so there's a few other things that I have on here. But I'm going to send this to everybody. And I'm not your boss. I'm not anything. I'm just, love you. I can encourage you for this. I'm going to do this for us. I'm also going to do one for our church. And that's going to be a little bit harder for us. There's some things we do well in, some things not so much. But a rule of life is a way not to add more to your already busy schedule, but to amend your life and find areas. And take a, I would say this too, take a time study of yourself for a couple of weeks. How much time? Every morning, every Sunday morning at 9:30, my iPhone tells me how much screen time I had for the week. So how much screen time am I having on my phone? How much am I doing this? How much am I giving myself to this? How much am I doing this? And take time studies and say, you know what? Maybe I've had 4 hours on my phone this week. Maybe I could drop to three. What could I use for the other hour, that orient, that one extra hour towards Jesus? Yeah. That would make me more, pay more attention to Him, would make me more like Him. Does it make sense? It's intensely practical. Yeah. But all of us, every person alive, without doing this in an intentional way, we can be very influenced by the world around us rather than influencing the world around us. Yes. With the advent of the iPhone, I can be influenced from anywhere. I can't hide anymore. The world is at your fingertips, and it's so easy to be influenced. But God wants us to be influencers. He's called us to be influencers. We have to be intentional about that. So, Billy, where's Billy? We're going to take communion before we go. Do you want to get the kids to bring them up for communion? It's okay. We'll do communion.